I'm Joanne Wilson, and this is Positively Gotham Gal. Small, meaningful conversations with women entrepreneurs about their approach to life, business, and everything in between. Today we are chatting with Sarah Chips, the CEO of Jewelbots. Jewelbots are friendship bracelets for the iPhone era, designed to introduce kids 7 to 14 to the principles of programming. Sarah is a JavaScript developer based in New York City and formerly the CTO of Flatiron School. She also co-founded Girl Develop It, a nonprofit that has taught over 4,000 women how to build software. When did I first meet you? I think it was when you were starting off on the Girl Develop It.
Yeah.
Which was so ahead of its time.
It's funny, like now there's a lot of classes, but then it was just kind of like, you want to do what? Teach people in person?
Right. But also, you know, when there was this surge of new companies that were starting to be built in New York City, you know, and I just know from the mid-90s, the first round, this being the second round, is that there were many more women founders. And I mean, I know when people say there's not that many out there, they're not looking that hard because there are tons of them.
Yeah.
And most of them really do not necessarily program.
No, that's true. That's very true.
But in order to manage a team that programs, it's very helpful to sort of understand the basic components of programming.
It's true. And that was actually a lot of our students early on. We call them like tech adjacent roles. Often it was startup founders was a big part of our audience because that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted to be able to communicate with the people that were building their software.
Right, which makes sense. I mean, yeah. I actually think that when you get to college, every college, it should be mandatory that you need to take one CS class.
Right.
That's it, just one. And if you get hooked, you take as many as you want.
Yeah.
But you have to understand the basic principles of where we're going because everyone's a technology company.
Yeah, there's no such thing.
Right. Like, yeah. I mean, there's no such thing as like, oh, we're a food company, but you still have a technology platform.
Yeah, you have a website.
You exactly. Like, yeah. You sell e-commerce. I mean, yeah. Everyone has technology. So it is sort of interesting. So did you, were you a CS major in college?
I was, yeah.
And what made you do that? Because I think that one of the issues with women is that we teach these young girls who love STEM to sort of push them in to build things that somehow or other men are building, that if we let them do things that were important to them, like more social responsibility, games that interest them, that they'd stay hooked.
I think so too. I think that if there's anything I've looked, like I was homeschooled before high school, and I think that's why I didn't go through that like socialization that a lot of, especially the girls that we talk to now, middle school girls, go through, because something after that time makes them like, oh, this isn't something that's for me.
Yeah.
And exactly, if it was like something that was in their interests, like why do we always use like, it's always like a car or something in all these examples. Not that women don't love cars, but like.
Not like men.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a really weird thing. I mean, we have a Tesla. Okay, yeah. I give a shit. Although it is a great car to drive. It is amazing when I'm in that car, like park, how many men are like, what is that? And no women stop.
Have you ever looked at a car and like been
like, I don't, you know, even like, you know, when the Ubers or the, you know, or the Junos come, it's just like, someone's like, well, what kind of car? Oh, did you get one of these? Are you getting one of these? It's like, I have no idea. I know the guy's name and his license plate number.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it is. It's a really funny thing.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So that's how you stuck in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is an unfortunate thing. So when did you know? I mean, you were homeschooled. So when did you know that you had it in you or you had this desire to have your own company?
Yeah. Oh, to have my own company?
Or that you were an entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good question. I think starting Girl Develop It was a really big part of that. My parents, when I was younger, they started a church. They started a homeschool group. Not the same thing, but like they were very much like, okay, this thing doesn't exist. I'm gonna start it.
Right.
And so I think that like I always had that mindset of like, okay, there's this thing that I want and no one else has done it. I guess that's time for me to do it.
Yeah.
So I think that Girl Develop It was the first thing. And And it was never intended to be a bigger thing. It was just, we just wanted to teach a class, and then like it sold out and we taught another class, and it ended up growing to other cities, and now it's in 50 cities, which is pretty cool.
That's amazing. Well, yeah. Your entry point was so perfect because it was this collision of all of these companies. And, you know, when someone would say, well, where do I learn how to do this? Or I really want to hire a woman who knows how to develop it. I would always be like, oh, well, you should go talk to Sarah Chips.
Yeah.
You know, she knows every woman in the entire city that understands how to coach, you know? And yeah. And I think that the timing was really brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's at 50, you know, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool. But that's interesting. I think most entrepreneurs that I meet, when you know, look behind, you know, the wall, that generally their parents were entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, if you've never seen that before, it's hard to make that connection of, mm-hmm. like, I'm going to do something new then.
Right. Well, if you don't see it, you can't be it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, I think that it's a lifestyle and a thought process that if you see someone get up every morning and go to work from 9 to 5 and come home and talk about their boss, you can't imagine that you would do what you wanted to do when you wanted to do it and how you wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be that boss when
right.
when your parents are coming home, they're like, that jerk.
Exactly. Like, no, it's completely different.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been interesting to me because I've watched you over the years. You know, you starting Girl Develop It, watching Girl Develop It grow. Then, you know, then did you go through ITP or... You did go through ITP. You
no.
did it. No, it wasn't you who went through ITP.
No, it was my original co-founder, Maria.
Right.
Who I met at a spring show, an ITP spring show. She's a great designer, and she had a really good eye for like LEDs. I knew that what we were going to build would incorporate LEDs. So I left her. I ended up talking to a few people from ITP, and she was really amazing. And we worked together to build the first prototype for JewelBots, which is really great.
Well, I remember because I was the judge when you guys pitched it.
Yeah, I totally forgot. I actually
at
forgot
ITV.
That. Yeah.
And that was when I first saw JewelBots.
That's so great. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. So Sarah is moving from this, you know, building this nonprofit sort of organization and is now going to move into this profit business of something that she wants to teach young girls how to code versus older girls.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's very cool. So you started this company. It's been a very interesting ride.
Yeah.
Because I think hard goods are really hard.
Yes.
For funding, the kids area is tough. I mean, there are so many things about this particular vertical that is very, very difficult.
Yeah.
So how long after was that you started this prototype with her and then moved into where you're going to build the business and then you went through Techstars?
Yeah. Yeah. So, before Techstars, so I quit my job in September of 2014 and Techstars was winter of 2015.
Okay.
So there was a long window of prototyping and building. By the time we made it into Techstars, we're almost there with manufacturing. We were about ready to start manufacturing.
When did you launch the Kickstarter program?
Last August.
Got
so
it.
Right
so that
before.
Was pre-Techstars, which is, you could write a book on, you know, how to do Kickstarter.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's Kickstarters are not easy.
No. They're not. Well, it depends on what you're making.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you feel extremely responsible to all those people that gave you money that you provide them that item that they expect to see.
Yeah. I mean I would have nightmares of all these like really sad little girls.
not getting a JewelBot.
Like it's so nice to be on the other side of that, but like that's what I think about all the time, was like these sad little girls that like now can't code,
you know? Yeah, right. You missed that opportunity. Yeah. And so as you've kind of like moved through this, what do you think was your biggest misstep or the biggest failure that you have found that has sort of pushed you in a direction? And by the way, it might not be with JewelBots. It could have been with Girl Develop It.
I think there's been a lot of different lessons on the way. I think probably the thing that I think when it comes to JewelBots, the biggest thing I think of, and I think you'll appreciate this. So we were vetting partners for design. We've since hired people on our team, but before then, to build the hardware, we were hiring teams elsewhere. And one thing I've seen with hardware is you get a team of 30 people, and there is one woman, and she's the office manager. And like that across the board is what you see. And I would be like, this is crappy, but this is our only option. And what I learned is like, if your partner wouldn't hire you, then you shouldn't hire them, right? So in this specific case, we were working with a design team, and we worked with them for a while. There are two really big flaws with their design. The first one was size. Little girls' wrists are much smaller than men's wrists, turns out. And so when we started testing it, it was hanging over the girls' wrists. And also it was a bracelet that was not curved, and there was nowhere to fasten the bracelet onto. And we ended up wasting like 4 months and a lot of capital. And I just look back at that decision and I think, man, like it would have been really difficult to find someone to hire or to find a different team that wasn't made that way. But that's why, you know, like when right. you're designing for people that aren't you.
Right. And they don't say, you know, it's funny. I heard this story a long time ago, and it was someone who was at, I'm having a blank on the name of the company, Ericsson.
Okay, yeah.
And Ericsson had created one of these bots that would talk to you when you were in some program of theirs.
Okay.
And this woman ran this team, and there were 10 men that reported to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, she then hired, as they had built this bot, she spent $200,000 with teams outside of Ericsson to sort of ensure that this bot was going to connect with men and women, right?
Yeah.
So she did all these market surveys. And all the women came back and said, it's a very masculine-looking bot.
That's fascinating.
They don't want that bot. You know, it's a man. It's not a female.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she brought the information back to the team, these 10 men engineers, and they're like, oh, that's ridiculous.
There's no man
There's
robot.
No, it's ridiculous. It's fine. And she's like, listen, I just spent $250,000 dollars of doing these market research teams, and I'm telling you, we need to have a different bot for women.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and I thought I've always remembered that story because, you know, they have no understanding. They knew how to make your product. They didn't understand the consumer.
Yeah, exactly. It's not just about, like, your knowledge and your ability. It's also about your, like, ability to empathize.
Right, right. Yeah. No, it's interesting. I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things that's interesting, so in transparency, I'm an investor in JewelBot. And, you know, I remember when you had come to me about Girl Development and you were raising money. We've had this conversation before. And, you know, you had never raised money. It was a nonprofit organization. You know, you gave me the whole spiel, but you never made the ask.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I went and I saw you at TechStars, and I know that, you know, Alex was like, you know, will you meet with Sarah and help her on her pitch and whatever? And I was like, okay, it's like a bait and switch. But I went and it was you and I, and we just talked. And at the end of, you know, you telling me how you were going to pitch, you said to me, you know, would you invest? And I said to you, you know, years ago, you never made the ask. And I think that that's one of the hardest things you have to learn as a founder of anything is you have to so believe in what you're doing that you have to get over it and you have to ask for the money.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. But yeah, that was definitely a big learning on the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But now you're good at it.
Yeah. Now I ask everyone on the street.
Give me some money.
Yeah.
So as you've gone through this journey, you know, and I think that for most people, if they had really known what the journey was going to be, they probably would have never entered it.
Yeah.
So what is it that you, you know, thought, I would have never thought that I would have seen that upon the journey?
Yeah. Like what specific event or like what part?
Anything, you know, could be from managing people to, you know, maybe in fundraising. I mean, what is it that you've seen that you're just like, who would have thought, or I would have met or learned or understood? I mean, I don't think that when you started on the journey of creating this jewel bot that you thought, oh, I'm going to go through Techstars. Oh, I'm going to, you know.
Yeah. I think it happens all the time. The first time I really remember it was when we were doing our Kickstarter. We got a email, like a message. It was a message, and I opened it up, and it was Bill Nye being like, I love jewel bots. Invest in jewel bots. It's an awesome Kickstarter. It was just like a video out of nowhere. And I was like, I screamed really loud in the middle of the office. And everyone came over, and I showed them. And it was, he just saw it, thought it was cool, and like sent us a video message.
That's
and
pretty amazing.
I was like, I didn't expect that at all. And now it like happens all the time with like little girls like coding and doing stuff. Now,
and they love it.
Yeah.
Are you starting to videotape some of these little girls and what they're doing and putting it out there?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really, they're not afraid of any of it.
Right. They're happy to push any button they possibly can.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's very cool. And now when are these jewel bots going to be on these Powderpuff Girls, which I think is super cool. And I love that the minute I heard that because to me, you know, that makes such sense.
Yeah. Yeah, we just got the designs approved, and it's looking like probably Q1 next year. Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
That is. That's great. I mean, I know that there has been some times where you've been like, oh, my God, are we going to make it?
Yeah, so many times. Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard.
Listen, I've had founders that told me after they got funding, they had 24 cents in the bank.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that is what happens in the startup world.
Yeah. It is. People ask me about, first of all, like often, even before we shipped, they'd ask me about building a hardware company. And I'd be like, man, wait till we ship before you ask me because I'm still not quite sure. But my question to them was always like, do you love your family? Do you like seeing them? You know, I don't think if I had known it was going to be this hard, I would do it. But I'm so grateful that I have.
Right.
You know, like through all the hard times, which they've been really hard. Being on the other side of it's really awesome. And I know there'll be harder times. Like, I know that we haven't found, like, the worst of it, but...
Yeah, yeah. There'll be new hills to climb, for sure.
Yeah.
But I do think the importance, and you bring up a really important thing, is the importance of sleep.
Yeah.
And removing yourself for a couple of days, a weekend, whatever it is. Because I do think you come back as a refreshed human being, that you don't do anyone any good, that you just are 24/7 all the time and do not stop.
Yeah, I think that's true. I was at an event the other day and I heard a female founder say something that really stuck with me. She said the best thing that happened to her as a founder was having a baby. She said...
We were just talking about that before.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Because she said, you know, I never used to be able to turn my brain off. I was like thinking about my company 24/7. And when you have a baby, that's not an option. You have to think about that baby.
Yeah.
So she was like, it was so much better.
I
was like,
so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
I've had a lot of founders get pregnant and I've been a huge proponent of, you know, if you're with someone and you're the right age and this is it, like it's not about the, and it's not about the exit entry strategy. It's about the exit strategy, right? Have these children young. You'll figure out how it works. You know, do it early, get in, and so you can get out at a relatively young age.
Yeah.
But I had one founder of a nonprofit organization actually who had two children through the course of her company, and she became such a better manager because she stopped being a micromanager.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're too busy.
You're too busy. She had no choice but to finally hire really senior people that she trusted.
Yeah.
And that was a really difficult thing for her before children.
Yeah. That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. You know.
Because you have to. You don't have a choice.
You have no choice.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's actually the one thing that when men say, you know, and I've heard it all, well, I don't want to invest in a woman who's pregnant, or you know, I don't know if I want to invest in someone who's, you know, has a family and like, all that nonsense.
About a kid at any moment,
you know. But the reality is, they're the best people to invest in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, my co-founder had a baby earlier this year, and it's been great. Like, you know, I was, you know, you don't want to be concerned. I wasn't concerned, but I was like, is it going to be the same when she gets back? Like, is it going to be? Are we going to be able to work together still? Is she going to be busy all the time? And it's been wonderful.
That's great.
Her baby is absolutely the cutest baby, which helps.
That's good. I think that's a really great thing. I mean, listen, there are certain women that have children and they they say to themselves, you know what, I don't know if I can return to what I did.
Yeah.
But I think the real true entrepreneur has always come back.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I do too. Yeah. All right. Thanks again to Sarah for joining us today on Positively Gotham Gal. You can learn more about her company and how they are teaching kids to code at jewelbots.com. Race, because, you know, we're selling out of them. It's a whole new, by the time this podcast is aired, you know, it's going to be, a whole new series of new ones you're going to have to make.
I know. Great.
So, yeah. So, and tune in next week for Positively Gotham Gal. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.